Thank you. Welcome to our service of worship this morning. I want to remind everyone that this week the 4th is coming up, and that Wednesday there will be the parade float decorating party at 5:30 p.m., and we'll be decorating vehicles in the church parking lot. And on Thursday, the Cook's float will be in the Coolwood 4th of July parade, and all are invited to join us. And we'd also appreciate donations of hard candy, something that won't melt in the heat, that can be used on the float. There's a tradition of throwing candy out to the spectators and the children. And Tang is planning a pop-up trip to the Daniel Boone Inn on Thursday, July 11th. We'll leave Cook's at 9:30 a.m. We'll be home by late afternoon. If you haven't been to Daniel Boone Inn, it's a buffet, country-style food. It's a good meal. Vacation Bible School will begin the week of August the 4th through 8th. On Sunday, the August the 4th, their opening celebration with a dinner for all kids at 3:30 p.m. Anyone else have any other announcements? Anything I'm missing? Okay. Join us this morning as we focus our reliance on God by responsively reading Psalm 51, 1 through 10, on page 562 in your pew Bible.
I have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. For I know my transgressions and my sins is away before me. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Cleanse me, my hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity.
Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Thank you.
Every week, we do the call to confession. I think that sometimes when you do something often, it loses a little bit of its meaning or power. But every time we do this, we're asked to come before God to confess our sins, to confess who we are. The Christian life is not a one and done. Once you're baptized, you're done. That's it. I don't change. I don't have to do anything else. It's an ongoing process. And that's why we have the call to confession every week, because we constantly have to come before God to admit ourselves to ourselves who we are and to seek His help, because the Christian life is not possible without God. So join me as we admit our sins and come before God. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In Your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways. To the glory of Your holy name. Amen. The sign of baptism is a sign of our assurance that we come before God and confess our sins and accept Him, that He has baptized us and made us one of His own. Gracious God, by water and the Spirit, You have claimed us as Your own, cleanse us from sin and giving us new life. We ask that You continue the good work that You have begun in us in baptism. And now let us affirm our faith by stating what we believe. The Apostles' Creed is found on page 35 in the front of your hymnal. And the Apostles' Creed was written almost 2,000 years ago in the early church to define and give a basic outline of the things that you believe as a Christian, that you need to believe as a Christian, and as a good outline of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confession of our sins and the assurances that we receive from God through His Son Jesus should give us peace. This is the peace that Christ referred to when He said it passes all understanding, that this world has no reason for it and cannot explain it, but those who accepted Christ understand it. Now share with each other the peace that God has given us. The peace of Christ be with you. Also with you. Thank you.
Reverend forgot to light the peace candle. Peace. Our scripture reading this morning is John 8, 1 through 17. I'm actually going to read through 20. But this is two of the episodes that Jesus had with the Pharisees. Of course, he had many, and I think if you're keeping score, he won them all. But it's found on the in the Pew Bible, page 1059, John 8, verses 1 through 20. This is the first one. But Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, What do you say? And in, but Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, and only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. The next episode is follows with the beginning on 12. Jesus is the light of the world. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are appearing at your own as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testament is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one, but if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come.
The people of God, the children and younger youth, come forward, please.
All right, good morning. All right, so today we are talking about changes, okay, changes. But we want to play a game that a couple of us have played before. So here's what I want you to do. Everyone's going to stay facing this way, and then I'm going to go back there, okay? And I'm going to change something about my appearance, just one thing. Then you guys are going to turn around, and you're going to tell me what changed, okay? Then we'll let somebody else go, okay? We'll see. Okay, so see everything?
Yeah.
Okay, now stay facing this way. Stay facing this way, okay? Don't listen.
I didn't look like I thought
All right, turn around. Oh, yeah, don't say if you know. Just raise your hand, and then we can see.
I can't see that guy.
Okay, Aiden needs his glasses. You can stand up if you want, Aiden, look. All right, Ethan, do you know? Yeah, my shoes are on the wrong feet, and that's really uncomfortable, so I'm going to change back. All right, Ethan, do you want to go? All right, Ethan, go, and then Luke, and then we might play a little bit more at Children's Church. Okay. All right, everybody look this way. Don't look back. All right, Ethan, tell us when you're ready. You could see?
No. Just I'll know
what's different. Okay, if you say so. I didn't really get a good look at Ethan already, so.
How?
Are you ready, Ethan? All right, everybody turn around.
Your hands are behind your back.
Your shirt's unbuttoned. No, was it already like that? See, I didn't get a good look. That's not fair. Does anybody else have a guess? No, they were they on the wrong foot when you came up here? What?
Yeah.
That was too tricky.
I said there was something behind his
Yeah,
head.
That was good, Aiden. All right, last one, Luke, go ahead. All right, everybody look this way. Oh, wait, everyone look at Luke first so we can see everything. Okay, good. Okay, we're ready. Okay, turn around. Okay, just don't look at Luke. Okay. All right, I think Luke's ready. Oh, my goodness. All right, go ahead and hand it back. Luke, go ahead and hand it back, and then come sit back down. All right, so we're talking, like I said, we're talking about changes. What are some changes that you've made as you've grown up? What are some changes? Yeah, Aiden?
I've gotten taller.
You've gotten taller, yeah. You grow up and you get bigger, definitely. Ethan?
Grow out of shoes.
Yeah, so your clothes get too small, so you have to get new clothes. Yeah, Silas.
And your feet get bigger.
Your feet get bigger, okay. Yeah.
Same thing.
Hey, you might move houses. You might move, yeah, or go to different schools, yeah. You lose teeth, okay, and grow new adult teeth. Exactly right. So these are all changes. You haven't lost any yet? These are all changes that we make that are good, right? But sometimes people ask us to change things about ourselves that aren't so good, right? Do you know any of those kinds of changes? Yeah, Luke.
Like steal money.
Right, yeah. If you're behaving in class and somebody asks you to... Yeah, okay. If you're behaving in class and someone asks you to change what you're doing... To do something you're not supposed to do, and that might be a bad change. Yeah, Ethan.
Watch my brother change into a shark. Look at his teeth.
I don't know about that one. But, so, a lot of times people will come up to us.
Make other people change by, like, you used to just be a regular kid, and then you change, like, make other people change. Badly, just
right.
Like you.
Yeah. So a lot of times people will ask us to change who we are.
Like,
but we know through the scripture we just read and the scripture we're going to talk about a little bit later is that if we are following, if we're doing what God's asked us to do, then we don't need to change. God loves us and God made us perfect and He loves us just the way we are. Right? So there are some changes that are going to happen. You're going to get taller. You're going to need new clothes. All those sorts of things. But if you're following God's path, then you don't need to make too many of those changes. Yeah, Luke.
And if you're too tall, you might bump into.
If you're too tall, you might bump your head. Yeah, that's true.
No, not
hurt. All right, let's pray. Will you pray with me?
Dear God,
thank you for making us perfect.
Thank you for making us perfect.
And help us to follow you. In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen. All right, so we are going to talk a little bit more about the scripture upstairs if you'd like to join us for Children's Church. Otherwise, you can go back and sit down, or you can go back to the nursery.
You have to deal with banging your head.
I have got it.
Or play the card game we did.
No.
And Graham was a little concerned. He said, I'm not sure I'm talking about the same thing you are. Now, so it'll be okay because in a way it is, and my title maybe is a little bit disingenuous, but we'll see. The gospel lesson I want to read today is very short. It's another story of Jesus' encounter with someone, and it's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. It's on page 1039 in the Pew Bible. It's called The Rich Ruler. In this case, a rich young man, a ruler, probably a Pharisee or some kind of important person, has come to Jesus and sincerely seeking out Jesus to find out, what do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do to inherit salvation? And as he says, inherit eternal life. A certain ruler came and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, if you read through the scripture and you really think about how Jesus talked to people sometimes, Jesus could be somewhat aggressive and sometimes a little sarcastic. So Jesus' response is, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." This wasn't what the young man was probably wanting to hear. He was, as we're going to see in many ways, a good person. But Jesus is telling him that no, he was not. I attended a Billy Joel concert last summer with my daughter. I love Billy Joel's music. And among his many songs I like is a song called "Just the Way You Are." In it he says, "Don't go changing to try and please me. I love you just the way you are." And that's a good definition of unconditional love. A more conventional definition is love offered without limitation or without condition. Your love just the way you are. Scripture makes it clear that God loves us. My favorite gospel is the Gospel of John, sometimes called the mystical gospel or the gospel of love. You can't read John or much of the rest of the Bible and not know that Jesus loves us. So many lines that we all know, even if we don't memorize a lot of scripture, come from John. "For God so loved the world, no greater love hath a man than this." Jesus' love extended to everyone. He was no respecter of persons. He famously ate with tax collectors, thieves, and adulterers. They probably hated the tax collectors more. These were the people that the Pharisees stayed away from, that they shunned, that polite society didn't associate with. Jesus was supposed to be a prophet, a healer. He said he was the Son of God. Yet, what is he doing over here slumming with these people? He healed on the Sabbath. He was breaking the law. You weren't supposed to heal on the Sabbath. Jesus rebuked the powerful religious people of the day. If you read through the text, there are many instances where Jesus talks to the Pharisees, and if you understand the context, he actually ends up not just correcting them, but he insults them. In the gospel message we heard, read, the woman in question was, as it said, probably guilty of adultery. The penalty under the law was stoning. The people gathered to stone her. Technically, they were doing what was right. They were following the law. And Jesus would have been within every right he had to pick up a stone himself and throw the first stone. But out of love, he showed mercy. Rather than stone her, he forgave her and pointed out to the others that they were no more righteous than her. So it is abundantly clear that God loves us. It's a comforting message. "I love you just the way you are." We come to church and we hear that a lot, and it is comforting and reassuring. Jesus loves me. Great, and I'm glad he does. But is that it? Is that really the whole message of the gospel? It seems that today often it is, especially, and I'll just be honest, in many of the mainline, what we call the mainline churches, that's all you hear. "Jesus loves me. That's great. Now we go home." But what else is there? Isn't there something else to the gospel message? Don't we need something else? Did Billy Joel express it correctly in his song, "I love you just the way you are"? In a sense, he did. God loves us all. God loves us enough to ask more of us. I'm here to tell you today that God's love is only part of the gospel message. It can be said that today we live in a psychotherapeutic age. The self-help section of the bookstore is the largest section you will go in. There are millions of self-help blogs, memes, and sayings posted online, and I'm one who does forward these and post them. I like encouraging people, and there's nothing wrong with it. Oprah Winfrey made her fortune getting people to talk about their problems on air and offering psychological advice and teaching the language of psychology to America. Everyone is fluent and talks in the language of psychology and positive affirmation. It has been said that a culture or a time's image of Jesus reflects often, unfortunately, the culture of the time rather than the true picture of Jesus. And I think today, our Jesus is affected, our image of Jesus is affected by the language of psychology and positive affirmation. We have reduced Jesus to a holy therapist. He has been reduced to a validator of us, here to reassure us that we are fine just the way we are. We believe he is here to tell us that we are okay and to help us reach our personal goals. But that is not Jesus. We cannot reduce the gospel message to just a positive affirmation. We cannot reduce Jesus to just a supernatural life coach who gives us a hug and tells us we're okay just the way we are. If you read the scripture, it is clear Jesus loves us, but he is not saying we are okay just the way we are. The highest goal in our therapeutic culture is to become our authentic self. If by that you mean using our talents and gifts properly, then I'm all for it. But think about it. Think about people, about human nature. Look at history. Look at crime reports. Do we really want everyone to be their true selves? Was Jeffrey Dahmer his true self? Is that a good thing? Was Hitler his true self? Probably was. That wasn't a good thing. Any of you have ever had a three-year-old? Do you really believe your job as a parent is to let them be their authentic self? What does Jesus say is our authentic nature? We have a belief in our culture that if you recycle and hold the right opinions about everything and vote the right way, then you are a good person. In the gospel message, we heard Jesus speaking to what was a good man. The rest of the scripture tells us he was probably above reproach. He kept the laws. He kept all the commandments since birth. Jesus acknowledged this, and he said, still, but you are not good. This man called him a good teacher, and Jesus said very clearly, no one, in some translations it says, no man is good, no, not one. We celebrate Jesus because he just met with the tax collectors, thieves and adulterers, and all sorts of socially unacceptable people. And yes, he did. He did that to show that he loved them. He loved them enough to not leave them to stay as they were. He did it to show them that the gospel message was not limited to anyone because of their social standing or because of their personal goodness or righteousness, as society defines it, that it was for everyone. But the message is that they can change. I dare anyone here to show me in the scripture where it says he told them to, you're great just the way you are. Keep on cheating people. Keep on stealing. Keep on committing adultery. In the gospel story, we heard how Jesus saved the woman from stoning. It's a great story, and it is often used to teach us about righteousness and how to look at ourselves and not to judge others. But what did Jesus say in the last part, which is not emphasized very much anymore? He said to her, go and sin no more. Jesus was calling her a sinner, but I thought he loved her. He just showed that he loved her. Yes, he was, and yes, he does. Perhaps now you're a little confused or maybe a little offended. I have been told that Jesus loves me unconditionally. What is it you're talking about? I came here to feel affirmed. I came here to have my feelings validated. I was never good at sales, and I'm probably not selling very well now. The true Christian message is not always something that's pleasant to hear. I am here to tell you that Jesus does love you. The gospel is not possible without the love of God, but it is also not possible without another word that is seldom mentioned. That word is repentance. Love is God's part. Repentance is our part. Repentance means to be sorry for, to acknowledge, and to renounce our sins. It means to rethink, to change. Jesus is not Billy Joel saying, don't go changing, I love you just the way you are. Jesus is saying, I loved you enough to die to give you the chance to change. Jesus is not our holy self-help guru. He is our Redeemer. He loved us enough to tell us the truth about who we are and to offer us a chance to become our authentic selves through him and through the gospel. We need Jesus to be our true selves to be truly good. Do you want to change? Are you hearing the gospel call for transformation? Have you drifted away and seek renewal? Will you confess your sins? Will you come before Jesus and admit who you really are and accept his offer of transformation? Ask now, please, would everyone stand? And let's just take a moment and come before Christ. Think about ourselves. Think about who we are and ask for his help to transform our lives, to do away with the sins, the worries, and the problems of our lives, and to become our authentic selves through Christ. Jesus, we come before you. We admit that we need you, that we cannot be truly good without you. Do not leave us just the way we are. We ask you to come into our lives, to transform us, to renew us through the power of your love and the power of your forgiveness. We come before you. Let us pray in your name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Sorry, I did things a little bit out of order. And does anyone have any prayer concerns or any blessings they wish to report? All right.
She had a severe stroke.
Okay. Betty Hunt. Okay, let's go before God in prayer. Father, we thank you for our many blessings. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine and the beautiful place in which we live, and that we all have a home, that we all have food, that we all have each other. We pray for those who don't have these things, that you would be with them and to help them. And if it be thy will, let us be your instruments to help them. And we bring before you those we have concerns, all those are on the back of the bulletin, all the names that have gone unmentioned, and we ask that you be with Betty Hunt, who has had a stroke, that you be with her and heal her and support her and bear her up. And we ask that you be with Carolyn Young. We've been informed that cancer has been found in her lymph nodes. And we ask that you pray, we pray for her, and that you touch her with your healing hands. Thank you for our many blessings. Thank you for healing. Thank you for joy. Thank you for being with us despite it all. And we know that life is not always easy, and sometimes the road is bumpy. But as long as we're riding with you, we're going to get to the right place in the end. Amen. And now we'll receive the gifts and offerings that we bring to God.
I dance in the morning when the world calls me go, and I dance.
Father, we dedicate these gifts to you. We pray that we'll use them according to your purposes. We thank you for the gift of your Son and pray that he uses us according to his purposes. Amen. And before we sing, I've been told that tomorrow is Billy Sigmund's birthday. And as of today, my wife has put up with me for 29 years. I think next year at 30, my contract's up for renewal, so pray for me. can we sing happy birthday, Charles?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I didn't know we still did that.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may he lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.